Pradyumna.
Bread happens to be my specialty, so I'm elated. I get straight to work preparing my yeast, mixing it with a splash of milk and warming it in a pan as an image of a Swedish cardamom twist comes into my head. With its elaborate plating, it's like a cinnamon roll but more complex. I love a bread tied in knots. I'll make mine savory. That will be interesting. I turn off the burner and rush to my designated sage green refrigerator on the side of the tent. It's stocked to the brim, stuffed full of fresh produce, exotic fruits, and dairy from local farms. I get to work sorting through my options. What is this? Spring onion? Oh, chives. That'll be perfect. I'll dice them and mix them with olive oil so they crisp up in the cracks of the bread, along with some mature cheddar. I dig deeper in the dairy compartment and find a log of expensive goat cheese. Even better! Then I'll add a ton of fresh ground black pepper and top with some flaky sea salt. My mouth is already watering. Pair a few of these freshly baked buns with a crisp, minerally white, and aperitivo is served. This is by far my favorite part of baking, watching the ideas form in my mind. I'm not a planner. All the meticulous plotting, the playing out of different scenarios, what a drag. I make up for my inability to think ahead by being good on the fly. I think I need a bit of pressure to create. For my sweet bread, I'll start a dough and get it rising so I can think about it more once I've had a break. I work energetically, adding flour to the yeast and the stand mixer, cracking in eggs, a plop of some room temperature butter, sugar, and a generous pinch of salt. I'm not as by the book as most bakers. I think that sometimes too much strict methodology can get you in trouble when it's better to rely at least a bit on instinct. Baking is like playing jazz. Once you have the basics down, sometimes it's better to improvise. Once I have my sweet bread dough in the proofing drawer, I set to work on my bread dough. I watch with satisfaction as it turns from a shaggy lump into something taut and shiny in the mixer. It will need to chill in the fridge before I shape it into knots. It's hot and humid today, which means it's best to let your batter rest for a bit. With my two basic doughs resting and chilling, two of my personal favorite states as well, I take a momentary break. I wipe my hands on a cloth, tossing it over my shoulder. While I have a sip of water, I look around at the others. Peter is referring to the blueprint he's created as his stand mixer spins wildly next to him. His forehead is damp with anxiety. In front of me, Stella, wisps of her hair coming loose from the bun on top of her head, aggressively kneads a lump of dough, working it on her counter with expert wrist flips. She attempts unsuccessfully to blow a stray piece of hair from her face. It sticks to her cheek instead, and I'm tempted to go over to her and smooth it. I look away before my thoughts get the better of me. Melanie is standing along the side of the tent, whispering to one of the camera operators, the one with the dark beard. I was surprised to see her when I arrived at Grafton. I don't know why exactly. I suppose I figured her role was less substantial, less hands-on. But she seems to be the control center of Bake Week. Rushing around in tailored pants and a fitted shirt, an earpiece pressed to one ear, she points a manicured finger at Lottie, whose bread is being pulled out of the proving tray, and the camera guy rushes past me. Her eyes scan the room, looking for other opportunities. It was Melanie who chose me. I tried out for Bake Week as a bit of a joke. Well, maybe not a joke, but I applied the same sense of whatever will be to the application as I do to pretty much all aspects of my life these days. I filled out the forms honestly, telling them that baking was one of the great joys in my life, but that I have never had any sort of professional aspirations about the whole thing. I look at baking as a leisure sport, the same way one might look at sailing. Something you want to do as a hobby. Nothing you want to be responsible for when it comes to other people's well-being. I was clear about that in my application video. Clear that I don't need to bake, that I do it for the fun of it. I don't need to do anything really, which is part of my problem. I haven't since I sold Spacer to a billionaire tech investor in 2013. It was a startup, a service that helped people find open parking spaces. I'd done it on a lark. Just a lame idea I'd had that I was telling people about to liven up the conversation at some boring party one day. But a friend from Stanford had overheard and thought it was a good idea. So he'd set up a meeting with some of his investor friends. They'd loved my pitch, And soon enough, I was a full-fledged company with a staff of 30 and the buzz surrounding a booming tech sector full of eager hangers-on. When an investment firm swooped in with an offer, I hadn't even flinched. I sold it immediately for a whopping $14 million. Principals be damned. I knew that there was no way something so simple, so stupid frankly, would stand the test of time. Though I had some regret when I told my staff. All were brand new to the company. All still sold on the lines I'd spoon-fed them about office culture and being part of something bigger, blah, blah. Spacer was not something bigger, though. We weren't changing the world one parking space at a time, and anyone half-conscious could see that. It was a flash in the pan, and if a big company was dumb enough to want to gobble it up while it was still palatable, well, then I was not about to stand in their way. With so much money in the bank and investments piling up in a tailor-made portfolio, I was able to just coast, so that's exactly what I did. I took up golf, sailing, and baking. I don't know what exactly drew me to baking. I think I'd always enjoyed making things, showing off when I invited people over for dinner parties. Baking made me seem domestic and accessible, things that are impressive to women. Up until recently, most of my life has been about impressing women. And it just so happened that I found all the kneading and mixing extremely relaxing, an added bonus. In the Bake Week application video, I'd whipped up pavlova in the kitchen of my apartment. While it baked, I sipped a sherry and talked about my life in Boston, gave a tour of my expansive kitchen. Then I topped the meringue with a gooseberry reduction and lemon balm-infused whipping cream. I must have charmed them on some level, because a month later I got called in for an in-person interview and baking challenge. The baking challenge was held at a local culinary school in downtown Boston. I was led to a room with long metal countertops and an industrial oven and instructed to make a perfect quiche with a limited selection of ingredients. It was all very school, and I hated school. The judge was a producer of the show, a scout for Betsy, I was told. I recognize her now as Melanie, skulking around the side of the tent with an earpiece in. She was stern-looking then as well, holding that same clipboard on her lap as she scrutinized my cooking technique, which I'll be the first to admit is a bit unconventional. Too many rules just make me not want to play. That day, as Melanie took a bite of my leek and gruyere quiche, its crust perfectly flaky and warm from the oven, I knew from the slight flutter of her eyes as they closed that I was going to be a contestant on Bake Week. The same way I know when a woman is going to go home with me at night. The next week a phone call confirmed it. I began chopping up chives for my filling, stirring them into a bowl with some salt and olive oil. I turned to go retrieve the goat cheese, and it's only then I realized the refrigerator door has been hanging wide open. I rushed to it, examining my dough, which is meant to be fully cooled by now. It's warm and gooey. Damn it! Is this fridge broken? I must have been distracted, though it seems like such a strange thing to do. I know I would have closed the door when I put the dough in. Wouldn't I? Now I'm going to be well behind the others. For the first time in the tent, I feel a twinge of pure competition. The tent? Am I already drinking the Bake Week Kool-Aid? I find all the lingo surrounding the show a bit absurd. As I glance around the room to see if anyone caught my rookie mistake, I catch Lottie's eye. She starts when I see her looking at me, immediately breaking eye contact and turning back to the dough she'd been scoring. Is it possible that someone could have opened the refrigerator door without me noticing? Intentionally? I look around at them, also innocently busy with their bakes, and realize that, of course, it's completely possible.